morning, everyone.
Good morning.
You see this big smile on my face? I'm so happy to see you all. My goodness, I think I counted this morning. I think it has been 18 Sundays since I have seen you all face to face. I think you all haven't been together for maybe it was 16, 15, something like that. But since I went on paternity leave with little Adeline, it's been 18 Sundays. So I am so happy to see you all. I mean, I've been smiling at a camera for 18 Sundays or something like that, but I haven't been able to see your all's face. So this is just wonderful. I'm very excited, happy to see you all here this morning. In terms of announcements, just a couple things. First thing is that we have our admin board council meeting right after church. So if you're part of that, we'll look forward to seeing you then. And then I wanted to remind you that next Sunday, if you can believe it or not, is daylight savings. So remember to spring forward, and we will be here, you know, next Sunday at what would be, what is it? What happens when you spring forward? It would normally be, it'd feel like
10
o'clock. Yeah. So we'll see you good and tired next week. the Paige and the kids will be with us here next week, and you'll be able to meet little Adeline. If you can believe it or not, on Saturday, she will be 4 months old already. So I know she's excited to meet y'all. We're excited for y'all to meet her. And so things are going well. And they send their love to you all this morning. Are there any other announcements anybody would like to share?
I'll tell you something about shoeboxes.
Great.
Yes, we sent shoeboxes, 260 of them, but we are already starting again for this coming year. One of the things that we did this past year that I haven't done in the past is I did sewing kits for the girls. And I included small pieces of material so they could hopefully learn how to sew before they went into a bigger project. But I have the little sewing kits. They are emergency sewing kits, but they're fine for someone who's learning to sew. But if you have scraps of material, or if you want to purchase some of the remnants of material that like Walmart has on sale, be glad to get some of those so that we can put some material in each sewing kit for the girls to practice. And we're also working on all the other things that we normally get to. The sewing kits were last year, the first year we actually did them the way we're doing them now. So just a word of advice and word of recommendation and one more thing you could look for. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. I invite us to stand together this morning and receive our call to worship. This comes from Isaiah 30, verse 15. In returning and rest, you shall be saved. In quietness and in trust shall be your strength. Amen. Susan now is going to come and lead us. Invite you to remain standing in the hymn, Christ the Lord is Risen Today. Number 301.
This one goes by pretty fast, actually. So let's just try to go ahead and sing all 6 verses. Y'all up to that? Okay. Thank you.
Scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Revelation, chapter 20. We'll be reading verses 7 through 15. Hear the word of God. Now, when the 1,000 years are over, Satan will be released from his prison and will go out to deceive the nations in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them for battle. In number, they are like the sand on the seashore. They marched across the breadth of the earth and surrounded the camp of God's people, the city he loves. But fire came down from heaven and devoured them. And the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of burning sulfur, where the beast and the false prophet had also been thrown. They will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Then I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it. Earth and sky fled from his presence, and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done as recorded in the books. The sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them, and each person was judged according to what he had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the second death. If anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. And now at this time, Tiger is going to be playing a special music for us. He's going to be playing the Old Rugged Cross.
Thank you.
so much. Our second scripture reading this morning comes from 1 Corinthians 15. We'll be reading verses 20 through 28. 1 Corinthians 15, 20 through 28. Hear the word of God. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. But each in his own turn, Christ the first fruits, then when he comes, those who belong to him. Then the end will come, when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father, after he has destroyed all dominion, authority, and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. For he has put everything under his feet. Now, when it says that everything has been put under his feet, it's clear that this does not include God himself, who has put everything under Christ. When he has done this, then the Son himself will be made subject to him who put everything under his feet, so that God may be all in all. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Lord, we are thankful for your word. We are thankful that you have spoken. Lord, that out of the darkness you said, let there be light. Lord, this morning as we hear from you, we pray that you would shed light onto our hearts, onto our minds, Lord, that we may see you clearly and love you more dearly and walk with you more nearly. We love you, Lord, and we give this time to you. In Jesus' name, amen. For the past few Sundays, which obviously we haven't been together here, we have been on a journey exploring what Easter is according to Paul. We're in the Lenten season. I wish we could have had an Ash Wednesday service a few weeks ago, but that wasn't possible. And so we have since then been in the season of Lent. You know, normally people will give something up, fast from something, during the 40 days leading up to Easter Sunday. And so during this Lenten season, instead of being somber, though maybe there's a place for that, usually Lent has a somber kind of feel to it, I decided, you know, we really need to be preparing ourselves for the resurrection day. And preparing ourselves for Easter in more of an positive light of how incredible Easter and the resurrection of Jesus actually is. And so during the first week, we looked at the question, what is the gospel? And talked about how what the gospel is not. The gospel is not the prosperity gospel, you know, that gospel that you hear on TV. Oh, you know, if you become a Christian, God will make you rich and give you everything you ever wanted in life. No, that's not the gospel. We talked about how the gospel is not fire, hell, scare the hell out of you, fire and brimstone. That's not the gospel. That doesn't sound like good news to me. But we said, okay, yeah, hell's still a real place, and it's still, you know, just because it's not the gospel doesn't mean it's not true. And then we talked about how the gospel is not necessarily that just general message. God loves you, or Jesus loves you. Yeah, Jesus does love us, but when we look at what the early Christians say the gospel is. We don't hear Paul in the book of Acts going around saying, Jesus loves you. We hear them proclaiming something a little bit different, though that's part of it. And same thing with the last one. We said that the gospel is not just the cross of Christ. It's not just the forgiveness of sins. That's part of it. But that's not the whole story. And instead, what we find Paul talking about at the beginning of 1 Corinthians 15, he's defining the gospel and saying that the gospel is the resurrection of Jesus. Yes, it's about his cross. Yes, it's about the forgiveness and atonement for our sins. But Paul himself, not me, Paul goes so far to say that if Christ hasn't been raised, the cross is nothing. It's meaningless. If God didn't raise Jesus from the dead, he says you're still in your sins. And all those who have died who were in Christ are lost eternally if Christ hasn't been raised. And so that's what the gospel is. The gospel, the good news, is that God raised Jesus from the dead. And then last week, we looked at the question, well, okay, God raised Jesus from the dead. But what does raising someone from the dead mean? What is resurrection? And again, we talked about what resurrection is not. Well, first of all, resurrection is not heaven. It's not dying and going to heaven. Again, heaven's good. Heaven's wonderful. Being in the very presence of God is the greatest thing that I can think of. But that's not what resurrection is. And resurrection here in 1 Corinthians 15 is not spiritual resurrection. Yes, we have been raised with Christ. We've been given new life through the Holy Spirit. But that's not what Paul's talking about here in 1 Corinthians 15. And then we said that resurrection is not just resuscitation. Just, okay, we came, you know, we were dead for a little while. Someone did CPR on us and brought us back. You know, it's not simply resuscitation, coming back into our old bodies. Now, and for the Greeks, they really didn't like resurrection because they saw it as a kind of a zombie apocalypse, right? Anybody seen zombie apocalypse? It's real popular today. People like, I don't really see what merit there is in it. But, you know, it's not simply resuscitation. People coming back to life in their dead, rotting corpses. That just sounds disgusting. And so that's not what resurrection is. But we looked at how Paul defines it here. And in a nutshell, he says that resurrection is the salvation and redemption of our bodies, of our physical bodies. That's what resurrection is. It is the salvation of our bodies, not just our souls. Our souls are important. Our souls need saving. We need cleansed from sin. Yes, we do. But our bodies also need saved. New, glorified bodies that are immune. I mean, that's an important word nowadays. We need immunity. Bodies that are immune to sin, immune to death and sickness and hunger and COVID. Hallelujah. That's what's needed for new heavens and new earth. Life after death. In a nutshell, resurrection is salvation from death. And so that's what we're going to talk about this morning. What exactly is death? And I know that lots of us, that's not just an abstract concept. That's not just, oh, let's think about ideas about death. It's a very real reality for most of us. And there's a lot of opinions about what death means. You could go out on the street and ask a bunch of random people, and you'd probably, you know, you ask 10 people, you get 15 answers as to what happens when you die and what exactly death is. And, you know, some say, you know, death waits for no man, right? I mean, that's one saying. And, you know, nobody wants to die, right? I mean, that's That's usually pretty obvious. But let's start here this morning by talking first about, as we've done for the past two Sundays, what death is not. Okay? First of all, when we look at Scripture, we see that death is not natural. Death is not natural. I know that in our scientific world, we see that what goes up must come down, right? We see that what is born must die. But not so, according to God's original plan. When we read Genesis 1 and 2, we see that people were never meant to die. We were made, God made us, to live forever in His presence. And so death is not just a part of life. It is what we experience today because of the result of sin, but that's not how things were supposed to be. Secondly, death is not your friend. And that might sound kind of strange. You might be like, well, yeah, of course it's not my friend. But there are some people out there today who think that, you know, death is just slipping into the room next door, or it's just a, you know, it's a beautiful thing, oh, passing on into glory. But, you know, it's, yeah, going to be with the Lord is wonderful, but the actual process of dying is not a good thing. Just from my own experience, seeing someone die with my own eyes is probably one of the worst experiences I've ever had in my life. I tell you, I had nightmares for months. And it, we lost Paige's grandma. It was about 12 years ago. And it was terrifying. It was traumatic. And yes, she was a Christian, but death is not a nice thing. It's not the natural way of what our lives are supposed to be like. And, you know, sometimes Christians say, you know, that, oh, well, we shouldn't be afraid to die. And you probably know me by now. Yeah, I kind of challenge things sometimes. I just kind of push against that. I'm like, well, why? Why shouldn't we be afraid to die? Now, I know that, yes, just as Paul says, you know, it's better for me to go away and be with the Lord. It's far better than staying here. But you know what? God has work for me to do here, especially you Corinthians. You need a lot of help, you know, so I'm going to stay here, you know. But why shouldn't we be afraid to die? It's not a good thing. Death is not our friend. So anyways, I say that not to be afraid of it. I think we're all naturally afraid, right? Nobody wants to die. There's a song, a CD by David Crowder. He's a Christian worship artist. And one of his albums starts by him just wailing, singing this line, "Everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die." That's kind of true. And anyways, all that to say, death's not natural. It's not part of God's original design, and death is not our friend. If that's what it's not, then what is death? Well, like going with those two things, if it's not natural, we see in Scripture, particularly in Genesis 3, the fall of Adam and Eve, we see that death is God's punishment for sin. What did God say to Adam? On the day that you take of it and eat of it, you will surely die. And a lot of people interpret that to mean, oh yeah, well, you know, they immediately were cut off. Sin cut them off from God's presence, from access to God. And they interpret it spiritually. And that's true. That's part of it. But in the book of Genesis, if you read through all 50 chapters, there's this recurring phrase, and Adam lived so and so many years, and then he died, and he was buried. And then then Noah lived so many years, and he died and was buried with his fathers. And then Abraham lived so many years, and he died, and he was buried with his fathers. And then Isaac lived so many years, he died, and was buried with his fathers. Jacob lived such and such years, he died, and was buried with his fathers. And so we see in the book of Genesis that recurring theme of real, actual, physical death. Death is the result of sin. And it's not just spiritual death, it's actual physical death. And secondly, from what we see here in 1 Corinthians 15, if we turn to verse 26, Paul says, the last enemy to be destroyed is death. The way I translate that is how it should probably be rendered a little bit better in English. Death is the subject of this sentence. Death, the last enemy. And then the way that this is structured in Greek is it says, will certainly be wiped out. Death, the last enemy, will certainly be brought to naught, brought to nothing. It will be obliterated. That's how you can put it. That's what Jesus did on the cross, and that's what God did when he raised Jesus from the dead. He destroyed death forever. Now, we're still living in the in-between time. But when Christ returns, we read elsewhere in Scripture that the dead in Christ will be raised first, and those who are still alive at Christ's coming will be changed in the twinkling of an eye. That the dead in Christ will be raised, and us who are alive will be instantly transformed into new and glorious bodies. But we see here, Paul is making a declaration. This is the gospel, that death will be destroyed. Death is our enemy. It's not a good thing. It's not our friend. It's not just a slipping into the next room. It's not just shuffling off this mortal coil. It is an enemy. And we see the end of the story, though, from Revelation that we read this morning. Revelation 20, verse 14. After all judgments happened, right? We see the Antichrist judged. We see his minions judged. We see everyone has now been judged. And what happens last? Chapter 20, verse 14. Then was the last thing to be thrown into the lake of fire. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. Death is our enemy. It is the last enemy to be destroyed. Well, so what? Okay, preacher. You've defined what death is for us. Great. That's great. Well, what does that matter? What's that mean for us today? Well, what it means for us, my friends, is that death is not the last word. You want to hear the gospel this morning? You want to hear good news? Death is not the last word. Paul says in verse 26 here that death, our last enemy, is most certainly going to be wiped out. It's going to be obliterated. And that doesn't mean that all those who have died are wiped out. But instead, that they've been released from death's hold. When Jesus returns, death will be no more. Death is certainly not the last word in our lives or in the lives of our loved ones. And I know that many of you have lost many over this past few years. And so talking about death this morning, again, is not just some abstract concept to us. It's a harsh reality that I know many of us are still walking with the grief with. Every day. And, you know, Paige and I, we've been through it too. We lost Paige's mom to cancer in 2015. And, You know, she was the glue that held our family together. And it has been tough picking up the pieces of just that devastating loss. I really wish that you all could have met her. When she passed away, we were serving at a church in Versailles, and she only came down to Kentucky to visit us. You know, they're from Illinois, and so she came down to visit, you know, once every couple months, and, you know, maybe a dozen times she had visited our church or so, and she knew everybody there. She talked with everybody. She was this very just larger-than-life type person. She just loved people. She was so giving, so generous, and I really just, I'm sad that you all can't know her and meet her. And I know someday you'll get to meet my father-in-law. He comes down every now and then. He'll be down in a couple weeks, and so hopefully you'll get to meet him. But Tammy's her name. You know, she would bless you all. She would have blessed each and every one of you if you got to know her. And I really wish that she was still here. She believed in me. She believed so much in Paige. She was just such a great support to us. And, you know, even when others thought that we were crazy to follow God's calling on our lives, she just supported us and said, yes, absolutely. And, you know, Asher, he's now, is he seven? Oh my goodness, he is seven. He's now seven. You know, he was just 1.5 when she passed away. And she called him her little buddy. Oh, here's my little buddy. And Ayla was just about 3 months old, about as old as Adeline is right now when she passed away. It's only through Christ that now she, in heaven, she knows that she's got a third grandchild. And we know and we trust that she knows. And I'll never forget her funeral. It was beautiful. Her casket was pink. So this is, I'm telling you, she was larger than life. And it was a beautiful funeral. I was able to hold it together throughout the service. And I was even able to sing her favorite worship song, My Jesus, by Hillsong, at the funeral. But when we got to the gravesite, you know, I just lost it. I couldn't hold it together anymore. And I know that everyone's experienced that. And I was reminded then, though, to not grieve like those who have no hope, as Paul says in 1 Thessalonians. I was reminded of what one of my Bible professors used to say. He said, death is not goodbye. Death is see you later. Death's not goodbye. It's see you later. And so death is not the last word, my friends. It is the last enemy. The final foe that God will crush for our sake. And he will stop at nothing to accomplish this. And he has stopped at nothing to bring us back into relationship with himself through Christ. And that relationship isn't complete if we're just souls forever. If we're just bodiless souls in heaven, then death truly does have the final word. But we aren't just souls. We are soul, we are spirit, and we are body. And God has and will save every part of us. And I can't wait for the day that death and Hades, like Revelation says, are thrown into the lake of fire and destroyed forever. I cannot wait for the day when this prophecy is fulfilled. And I can't wait for the day to see my mother-in-law again. And not just how she was when she had cancer, not just how she was even before she had cancer, but to see her in glory. when Christ will transform her lowly body, as Paul says in Philippians 3, into his glorious body. And I know that that same longing is in your hearts for those that you've lost, for those here this morning that you're missing. And I want us just to take a moment here as we close. I want us to take a moment. I want you to close your eyes. And I want you to think about whoever it is, that person or persons that you miss, that you've lost, and that we know is with the Lord right now. And I want you to take what you feel, that love that you have for them, and I want you to put it into prayer. Now, sometimes the Spirit doesn't give words to the groans inside, but I want us to put words to those feelings here this morning. Don't just pray half-heartedly just because I say so, but pray with that emotion, with that longing, with that grief. It's okay. With that sense of love for whoever it is you miss and long for. So take what you feel and let's put these words to it. Let's pray. Here's our prayer. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Bring your kingdom here on earth as your kingdom is in heaven. Return, O Lord. We want to see you coming on the clouds of heaven with your holy ones, your angels, but more than that, with all those who have said yes to you, even our loved ones, God. We want to see you coming on the clouds with Tammy Booth, with Jerry Ettinger, Lord, with Richard Roof, with Nina Trout, with Faith King, with Jeannie Wright, Lord, with Christine Kestel, with Connie and Jim Trotter, Lord, and with all those unspoken that are in our hearts now. Lord, they are yours, and they are with you. Lord, we long to see them in glory. We long to see you in glory. And we know that we need you to come. That when you come, we will see you and them in glory. We know, Lord, that death is not the last word. We know, Lord, that it's not goodbye, that it's see you later. Lord, we pray. May later be now. Come, our Lord. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I love you all. The Lord loves you all. He's holding us in his hands, and it's okay. Death is not the last word. I think at this time, in response to this word, I think we should pick ourselves up, confident in the Lord. Stand together as you're able, and we will declare our faith together. The Apostles' Creed that says we believe in the resurrection and in life everlasting. Our hymnals, it's number 880, I believe, 881. Let's declare our faith that death is not the last word. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. At this time, we'll go to the Lord in prayer. Any praises? Let's begin with praises this morning. Any praises? Happy things that's been going on in your life that you'd like to share and praise God for?
I praise God that He keeps me healthy.
Amen. Yeah, Tiger.
I'm thankful that I got a chance to perform publicly today. It's been over a year because of this COVID pandemic since I've played publicly.
Yeah. Well, I hope more is coming for you.
Okay.
Praise the Lord. It was beautiful.
Thank you.
Very moving. Yeah, Elizabeth.
My brother is recovering well from his heart valve replacement. He's had a couple of years with his high blood pressure and back to emergency room, but he's keeping up with his cardio rehab and he's doing quite well. So please continue to pray that he'll keep up with his exercise and he's learning more about how he should eat healthy. We're all trying to encourage him, and we're trying to do better ourselves.
Yeah. Awesome. We'll be praying for him. Yeah, Susan.
Tomorrow, Randy and I celebrate our 41st wedding anniversary.
All right. Congratulations. Wonderful.
Yeah, I mean, the Lord has kept most of my family healthy through all this. Now, my granddaughter Stephanie and her fiance Brandon ended up with COVID. She had a very mild case, but he had a severe case. He's still recovering from it, but he is recovering. He's got something going on with his heart now from it, but he's brought him through it. He brought me through some illnesses and infections and stuff.
God
just
praise
him. He's keeping
us born. Yeah. Yeah. And we were praying for you.
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
My mom's cancer.
Yeah. Any other praises or requests? Yeah, Laura? Will do.
Yeah.
That's good news. She's almost done.
Yeah.
her husband, family that they live with me. My grandson, Roland. He brings me so much joy each day. He keeps me busy the whole time he's there, chasing after him. But if I didn't have him, I don't know what I'd do. And actually, I have a drug that helps me with my anxiety. Now I'm going to have to find something that helps me with my depression.
Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, you are working in our lives. You're working in our hearts here this morning. Lord, we pray that you'd minister to us. Holy Spirit, fill us up. Lord, we need your touch. We need what only you can do, God. So I pray that you touch us and bring healing. Not just the physical healings, and we pray for that, but Lord, heal our hearts this morning. Help us know that there is good grief. So Lord, I pray for your healing hand to reach down and help us here this morning. Lord, we want to thank you for good health for so many of us, especially for Randy, good health for Janine, good health for Stephanie and Brandon. Lord, we thank you especially for Tiger sharing his music with us this morning. We celebrate that with him. Lord, we thank you for David Chamberlain. Thank you that he's doing well. Ask that you continue to give strength to his heart and help him and all those mechanics of eating right and staying committed to whatever exercises he has to do. And Lord, those little things that are hard for us all to do. Lord, we celebrate Susan and Randy's 41st anniversary. Thank you so much for them. Thank you for this new season that they have in retirement now, Lord. And just, they're such a blessing, and we pray that you continue to bless them. Lord, we thank you that you are our friend, as Sonny's reminded us. Now, Moses just spoke to you face to face like talking to a friend. That's what we're doing right now. Lord, you're real. And Lord, we thank you for Rachel. Thank you for this opportunity. Thank you, Lord, that she's close to being done. We pray for the next 5 months there in Bowling Green that, Lord, she'd make great connections and build good relationships and just have such a positive experience where she'll be serving. And Father, we at this point just want to lift to you all those unspoken requests that are heavy on our hearts. Lord, we lift them up to you now.
One of my favorite verse, I have many. One of my favorite verse is in Lamentation, when Jeremiah said, good is for the man to take the yoke in the youth. And he said, great is mercies of the Lord. Because it's those mercy we have not been consumed. J.W. came with this, and he pointed to you. I do not know exactly.
J.W. just came.
Yes, another one is he guided me in darkness, but it's good to receive the blessing of the Lord in light. But when we had stayed away from the Lord, he also guided us in darkness, so we can come into the light.
Thank you, Lord. Amen. Well, J.W. knew what was coming next, I guess.
I just came here and he left.
He knew what was coming next. It's our offering. Wonderful. Ah, and we pray for him as well. I know he's been in a lot of pain. He's had a hard time. He's been struggling with medications, trying to find the right one to help him. So, be in prayer for him. Lord, we lift him up. Lord, give him strength. Amen. Let us at this point, be reminded of our tithes and offerings. And I know that we've been having to do this in a strange way these past almost 4 months, but we've got our offering plate out there, so you're free to give as you come and go. And at this time, I invite you to stand and let us sing praise to the Lord. Let's thank him for his goodness.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
And Lord, we do thank you for these gifts. Lord, we pray that they would be used for your kingdom and for your glory to bring the transformation, not only of us as your disciples, but the transformation of the world. Lord, use us. We are in your hands. Amen. I invite you to remain standing as we sing our closing hymn, Soon and Very Soon, number 706. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we're going to see. receive this benediction from the Apostle Paul. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. Go in the confidence this morning that death is not the last word, my friends. Go in with the gospel. Amen.
Yeah.